It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday. What? That's what we do around here on a Friday. We get ready for the weekend because Friday leads into Saturday and Sunday. And when you talk footy around these parts, you talk to Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder for the Friday footy preview. Back again. And pleasingly, this time, due to the reduction in COVID protocols, is it with us in studio. Boomer, good morning.
Yes, much better being in the studio, Daniel, with you guys. And unlike you said, I have got a hoodie on, not a singlet.
You didn't have it on before.
But I tell you what, if this heater stays on like it is, I will have a singlet on because it is boiling hot in here, Joey. Very, very warm. Right. So, it's been a good week again, out and about. Back to running this week, which is great.
The hammy's back.
The hammy's back, so back out in the field for the Kangas, which is fantastic. And last night, great result, I reckon, for football.
Yes, well, I was going to ask you about that. I do want to go back a little bit. We spoke to Toddy Goldstein yesterday, Whitey?
Yep.
About the game against the Giants. Mm. And you sitting on the bench, you're a little competitive animal. And you weren't able to get out there in your fluoro and your tight tee.
Yep.
How were you with the last couple of minutes of play there? Because I only was thinking about you. I was watching the game and thinking totally of you.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird because I've got the headset on. David Noble's going off his head in my ear. I've got to relay the message to the runner who can't get out there anyway because you can only go out after every goal. So I'm actually up. The cord nearly came out of the socket. I'm up with the headsets on. David's telling me stuff. I'm yelling out to our wingers to try to get stuff done on the field. It was a little bit of mayhem. In the end, it was a little bit disappointing, I guess, because we're 28 points up. The boys did quite well because GWS not a bad team, but in the end, when you're 28 points up and throw it away, you get a little bit disappointed. But you go back, you review it, and you learn from it, and that's certainly what the boys did. And I thought the review during the week that the coaches put together for the boys was fantastic. So hopefully, we've got a massive test this week again in Tassie again, which is great.
Yes,
but the Brisbane Lions this week, so big game for the boys.
They're a pretty good team, the Brisbane Lions.
They're going all right at the minute, aren't they?
They're going okay, but you'll be out there in the fluoro.
I will be. Yes, I'm back this week running the messages. I think our old runner was a little bit more softer than the way I would tell the message.
Oh, are you quite stern with your messaging?
David has said to me a couple of messages, he says, and you say exactly how I said that. I said, don't worry, you don't need to tell me that, mate, I do. So, he's pretty stern sometimes.
It's interesting, isn't it, with David, because he is great to talk to.
Yeah, he's fantastic,
really,
yeah.
Really friendly and quite
he's got a different side to
personable.
Oh, yeah. He's got a real competitive edge.
You can't almost believe what you're saying because of how he talks.
Yeah.
But Todd said the same thing.
Yeah, Ramo hit the nail on the head then. He is a competitor. He's a winner. He's won a lot of the things he's done in life. He's a winner, and he made that no secret. That was one of the first things he said when he came into the football club. He goes, I am a winner. So he's teaching that now, and he's a great teacher.
That is when he walked in. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm a winner.
I love it. I've won Tassie Lotto 7 times, Super 66. Well, got a couple of those under my belt.
It wasn't exactly like that, Daniel, but it was pretty much like that. It was great. So, yeah, no, he has got a side. And I, fortunately or unfortunately, and I'm learning a lot, so it's fortunately, but I can hear everything he says through the headset, and some of it's pretty good.
Well, you'd like it because you're
I'm exactly competitive. I absolutely love it when he says stuff like that. So, I said to him, you don't need to worry about the way I deliver the messages, mate. It gets it the way you want it.
He always knew you're in trouble when the runner came out, and he said, he's asked me to tell you straight. And then proceeded to give the message.
Did you ever go back and say to the runner, tell the coach I said this?
Yeah, I did.
How'd that play out?
No, that didn't go well for me.
Was it Dennis?
No, it wasn't Dennis. No, it was Ken Judge. He wants me to tell you. And then he said something I can't repeat on radio. I said something I can't repeat on radio back. I was, you gotta tell him.
Well, I get a little bit of flack off the boys, and I just say, hey, do not shoot the messenger. And straight away they know that it's coming from the cockroach, so it's all good.
Yes, fun and games. What was the conversation like with the players and staff this week about the David McKay situation? You referenced that before, that was the right outcome last night from your perspective. We agree, by the way.
Yep.
Most footy people do.
And what was the discussion? Was there talk about it in the rooms and on the field?
No, there wasn't. Because it happened on a Thursday night, there was so much to play out, so the boys didn't, and we've got our own stuff to worry about as well. So there wasn't. I mean, there was talk about it, but it wasn't. I wasn't privy to all the information the boys would have been speaking about, or the coaches didn't really speak about it. David did ask our opinion and thought how many weeks he would get, or whether he would get off or not, and that was sort of about it. But we haven't changed anything, let's all be clear. I think you guys would have done the same. We don't like anybody injured, especially concussion, how big it is now. But that was just an attack on the ball. That was just an attack on the ball. And I don't know who said it, but somebody said it during the week. If he gets done for that, what happens in marking contests now? Because we've been taught to put the knee up. Well, no, it does two things. Put the knee up protects you.
Yep.
And it also makes you get higher off the ground because you're driving with your... So if your knee goes in somebody's jaw and they break their jaw, is that exactly the same as being... going for the ball as a contested player on the ground. So it opens up a can of worms for me, but I thought the right outcome was done last night.
Yeah, I think most people would agree with that. The marking contest situation, I was debating this with someone through the week about the ground ball situation as opposed to a marking contest. So what's the difference? They're both 50-50 balls. Yep. You're trying to get access to the ball first in. Ground ball, area ball, doesn't matter. Sure, it's just a contest.
Well, there's short players and there's tall players. Tall players usually mark the ball and small players usually go and get it. So you've got to be good at your craft. And we've been taught forever, it's what you do in that last metre to go and win the football. We play a contested ball. Hence why you guys always pick Kentucky's every bloody Friday for face-off. We play a contested game of football. So you've got to go in there and learn how to, that last metre, the metre... last meter test, Brammer. Yep. You would have had that through the 2000s with the Bombers, and half you would have done the same. Yep. Dennis was massive on it. Love the last meter. What you do in that last meter is the way you get judged, and individually turns into collectively. If you win the contested ball, 9 times out of 10 you win the game. So it's been like that for a long time.
Yes, it's certainly a much debated part of the game this week, and we'll see whether or not we get a response from headquarters this morning, because they're the ones that sent it to the tribunal after the MRO decided it wasn't a worthy charge to lay, or couldn't lay a charge on it.
Because he didn't and I haven't missed nothing, he didn't go past the ball, he didn't tuck the shoulder in to actually make contact. He was actually reaching for the ball as well.
And that's the big thing.
That is the big thing. He was reaching for the ball and his shoulder accidentally hit him a little bit high. But I thought his technique was fairly good.
Well, he got through, hopefully we do hear from headquarters today. I think Steve Hocking needs to come out and talk about this today and answer some questions and state their case about what they want to see going forward.
They might use the what the Royals do, never explain, never complain.
Well, no, I think they need to. If they're going to put this to the tribunal, they're going to throw it in, overarching powers.
Yeah.
They need to make a statement on the back of this.
The game will shift now.
This is the thing.
But there will be a new rule.
You can't make a new rule
or
new interpretation until such time as the AFL come out and do it and tell us about it. Otherwise, we find ourselves in the same situation.
The game will change. That in 5 years will be a suspension.
Nah.
You don't reckon?
No.
I reckon concussion is such a big thing in society, sport and society today.
I couldn't agree with you more, but it won't be.
I don't want it to be, but I think it will be the way the game's going.
When was the last one? When was the last incidental collision?
Byron Pickett. That was incidental on Crumb.
Oh, I was 12 metres from that, and I don't think I've ever been more scared in my life.
I was on the bench.
And he didn't even hit me.
I was on the bench.
I want to go off. Take me off, coach.
I couldn't believe what I'd seen.
That wasn't accidental, you don't think?
Oh, mate, give him a break.
That poor old Crumb is still living in next week. Poor old Crummy. Can you remember a recent one outside of that sort of thing? Incidental head clash that's caused that level of trauma.
I remember a bad one.
Which one?
James Heard, Mark McVeigh.
What year was that?
That was a long time ago, but that was just a complete accident. Yeah. Obviously, on Mark McVeigh's behalf, but I can still remember.
So we're going back a fair way.
There have been some, but not to the extent of the injuries sustained by Hunter Clark. And this is the thing that frustrates me the most about this, is that it happens so rarely, but there seems to be such an overreaction to something that happens so rarely that, again, then the consequences that then follow completely change the game.
That's right, and that's my
point. So it does happen from time to time because
did Sean Higgins have one? He got concussed or a broken jaw or something not too long ago.
But let us know if the SMS 0416905052 recent editions of a similar type of situation.
Not a bump. It's a collision or an accident, not a bump.
Can I add something too for the listeners, right? And I find it hard for people to go and debate at the tribunal against David McKay because AFL is different to local level. So if you've played local level football and you're going to win the ball and mistakes happen, times that at this speed with the best athletes in Australia, times that by 15, 20. You've got no time to react. The ball's there. You just go and try and win it. So the people that play local football can understand, oh, I've got myself in situations like that. Times it by 20 because that's a different speed. I've played at both levels, and trust me, that's the different speed.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
No, that's a good reference point. Because, of course, you're still living that dream at the moment.
Yeah, yes, so you notice there is a considerable difference.
Yeah, huge. But it's massive. Man, 20, am I exaggerating? Maybe a little bit. It would be 10 times the type of speed, the power, the velocity, everything that you can do at AFL level between the best players and even VFL. I haven't played too much VFL for a long time, but local level now it's completely different.
Yeah,
so if you are listening and you're a local player and you think, oh, I've been in that situation, it is hard, times that by 10.
Because it's not just about the intensity of the contest, it's just the whole thing. Like, I think we still see players that battle at AFL level and they're no good. You know, how does he get a game of AFL football? And then they go back and play local football and they're just completely dominating.
Exactly.
How is this the same player that couldn't get a kick? Anyway. Got a bit emotional there.
It's okay, you're entitled to. Hey, let's have a chat about tonight's game.
And this is the disappointing part. This is such a great game of football tonight. And it's been pushed to the side because of everything that's gone on this week.
Yeah, so. But it's all right because, you know, it's tonight. We've had 3 days to build up to the tribunal. Now we can move on and have a crack at tonight's game. Because, as you rightly say, Rammer.
It's a ripper.
It's a corker.
What happened to Thursday night football? I looked at my fixture and...
Well, there's only five games.
Richmond were playing West Coast 2 weeks in a row, I thought.
Yeah.
It's only it's five games this week, so it's a short round.
Yeah.
Let's just have a week off. Seriously, this is
We should petition for this. Monday... Melbourne Collingwood, and then the following Thursday, football returns. So there's only 10 days of no football. It's not really that much of an issue, is it? And becomes community footy takes centre stage for that week where there's no football.
Just have a weekend off.
Well, they couldn't do it this week. No crowds at local football.
That's all you need. Well, slightly different world we're living in just at the minute. Geelong and the Western Bulldogs.
Play this week,
I'm not playing, no way. GMHBA Stadium tonight, 7:50. Check your local guide. 7:50 should be 7:20. Anyway, Guthrie comes in for the Cats. It's the only real change for either team. Higgins has been managed.
But
and
he's been named in the VFL team, Higgins.
What?
But isn't the 23rd player always named? Won't he be at the sub tonight?
I don't know. I don't know. It's confusing.
Is Higgins out? Is he out?
Well, he's out. Out of the 23rd, managed,
but he can be named in the VFL team.
He can be the 23rd.
Because I think you have to be put named in the VFL. That's what I'm saying. I think he'll be the manage will be just limited game time. A lot of players are getting this situation where they're named as the sub to manage their game time.
Well, Nick Cox for Essendon was managed a couple of weeks back.
So are you saying he'll play as 23rd man, or you're saying he'll play VFL?
I'm saying he'll play as the 23rd man,
okay. And
that will be seen as managed. That the hope is that he gets a rest or maybe get a quarter. You know, worst case scenario, he's got to play.
Playing a dangerous game, the Cats with Narkle.
Yeah, I agree.
Contractually, and from his future perspective, you mean?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's fascinating what's going on there.
No doubt.
Fascinating. We will see what happens.
I think a lot of other clubs are watching that situation.
Yep, I would be. Absolutely. West is out for them, who is the sub for the Bulldogs at this stage. We'll see what happens. It's a ripper. The Doggies coming off the bye. They're sitting nicely in second position on the table at the moment. The Cats are in third. One game behind them. They beat Port Adelaide last week in Adelaide, which was a great win. Had plenty of time to recover. Boomer, what's going to happen?
Well, it's going to be a contested game. I know that. Geelong are number one contested team in the competition, and Western Bulldogs are number two contested team in the competition. So both very, very good at clearances. So we're going to see a very contested game tonight. We know that Western Bulldogs like to win the ball in close, get it out in the outside. But
not a lot of outside at GMHBA Stadium, is there?
No, no, because it's so skinny. You're right. But the fact that they're 1-2 in contested possession in the league is going to be stoppage game. And we will see a lot of stoppages tonight, which probably suits the skinny ground, and we're probably going to get a little bit more stoppages than we normally would if it was at Marvel or the MCG. But I think it's a Cam Guthrie, it's a massive in. I heard on radio the other day someone was saying, is he possibly the best midfielder at Geelong now, behind or in front of Duncan, Dangerfield, Salwood? So he made all
numbers,
Australian last year.
Numbers-wise, he is.
Say he is. He's got a massive work rate. Yeah. You watch him closely, and he just works super hard.
And he works extremely well with Mitch Duncan. And they both kind of got out of the team at the same time for different reasons. But for about a 5 or 6 week period, what they were doing connecting together
was
quite special.
And the big guys up forward for both teams. I mean, Hawkins, 29 goals. Cameron's only played 7 games, 23, and Rowan, 20. That's 72 goals between the top three. And you think, yeah, they're much better than the Western Bulldogs up forward. Bruce has kicked 34, Norton 29, and Bontempelli has kicked 17 goals as a midfielder, plays 20-30% forward. They've kicked 80 goals between them. And I know Geelong probably would have, if Cameron played a little bit more games, it would have been pretty even. But that's a really surprised me, that stat, that those Western Bulldogs were kicking so many goals. And English is another one with 12, so he's kicked over 10 as well. And Geelong haven't got anyone else over 10. So for me, it's a simple game tonight, Rama.
Matchups, I think, is most important tonight. You look at the forward half of, obviously, the Bulldogs with Bruce Norton and English and how that plays out. So does Blitzars have to play more back tonight? So he's been changing a lot with Radagalia in the ruck. So Henderson, Henry and Colajasny are the three talls for the Cats. Is Colajasny or Henry a little bit undersized? So you look at Norton, and I think the best matchup there for Norton is probably Henry, just because of the athleticism. Yep. But then Bruce and English, well, English is over 200 centimetres and Bruce is 199. So I wonder if that stretches Geelong a little bit, or do they just simply play Blitzards a lot more as a key defender tonight? Then up the other end of the game, I'm really surprised Easton Wood is in the emergencies for the Dogs tonight. I would have thought against Geelong's dangerous forward line, as you mentioned, Boomer, he just comes in.
He's a good matchup for Rowan, isn't he?
He needs to be in the team. It just is more stability there. It's probably been the one criticism that a lot of us have had of the Bulldogs' defence, is that their key defenders at times have been really, really stretched. So I think O'Connor goes to Liberatore tonight. That just looks like what's going to happen for the remainder of the year. And then how Geelong play the Bontempelli matchup becomes critical. A skinnier ground, I think, obviously favours Geelong, because that doesn't allow then the Bulldogs, what they like to do is they like to win it on the inside and flip it outside as quickly as they possibly can and get the ball rolling.
Yep.
Geelong are so good, we know it's sitting back and defending. That's just how they've always played the game there. They don't get scored heavily against. They were in trouble last week. There's no doubt the Cats against Port Adelaide, but they found a way. They've been able to drop the hammer a couple of times on good teams and just go. Their efficiency levels are amazing. They're amazing. And that's because the good teams don't turn the ball over. As simple as that. When they're going forward, they just don't turn it over, Boomer.
The way I've seen teams beat Geelong is make Geelong defend down back, and that's what you're just talking about. Yeah. They set up so well and very proactive. So if you shift the ball from one side of the ground to the other, you can actually shift their defence. It's hard to do it. GMHBA, Skilled Stadium.
Just go Cadinia. Old school. Cadinia Park.
Yeah, Cadinia Park. So it's really hard to shift a defence because the ground's so skinny, if that makes sense. So it's going to be, that is going to play into, and the other thing is they haven't beaten them down there for 9 consecutive games, I think it is, since 2003 at Skilled Stadium, which is a massive stat.
One player that continues to go under the radar for the Bulldogs is Bailey Dale. I think if you look at all the Dogs midfielders, Aaron Norton, they've got a lot of stars, the Dogs. But Bailey Dale is having an absolute career year off halfback. He's been terrific. His ball movement, his kicking has been terrific. He kicks out. You watch tonight, he kicks out. He never chips short. He plays on and sprints, gets that 15 metres. Then his kick will usually go towards the centre of the ground, centre wing.
And then he goes again. He's turning into a really, really good player.
If it's a close game right at the very end, the Bulldogs are number one in last quarters. So it's a close game.
Good stat.
It's a close game. They're going to be right in at the Bulldogs, as I said, number one in last quarter scores. So be a good game though, Whitey.
It will be. I still think, though, that the narrow ground really counts against the Dogs. And even Lachie Hunter referenced that yesterday when we chatted to him about they like to play with width and they just don't get that. And evidenced by what you were saying, that it's been such a long time since the Dogs have beaten Geelong down there. The overall record, the last 11 games, is 9-2 Geelong's way. It's 2-2 the last four. So that's probably more relevant in a way. But for me, I'm really big on Geelong. And I think the Dogs have had these two big games on the Friday night against Richmond and Melbourne and came up short. And I put Geelong in that category as a real, you know, one of the big top seeds. And I just think the Dogs aren't quite at that level yet.
Rammer or Half, did you ever put the cones out when you played down at Geelong? Did you put the cones out at your ground?
Yes.
So you just play your train skinny?
Yes.
It never works.
Actually, because we're a big club, we never played down there.
There it is.
Here it is.
But you'll be in Tassie this week. Couldn't be that big. couldn't be that big, loser boy.
Sold out that game?
On the back of the Hawks.
Have any supporters? North have gone there last week?
It's been cold.
It's very, very cold. Hobart, they don't go to
Hobart's different, Rammer.
So who wins? Are you tipping the Cats, Whitey?
I'm with the Cats.
Yeah, I'm with Boomer. Geelong as well.
Coming off the back of one win last week, I'm very confident.
one win.
Did you only get one?
Well, we're claiming one for the draw as well, so two.
Can we get an update on the...
We'll get Joey to do that
for you. I don't think you need it. But
Rammer?
Cats.
Cats for me as well. We'll get to the news. Johnny Bowden's going to give us the latest in the world of news and sport very, very shortly. Zach Merritt's going to join us as well. I'm going to leave the studio for that, Boomer, because I can't deal with the propaganda, boys. So it's going to be just you three having a chat to Zach. We'll go through the other games this weekend in the AFL. Only four more to go through. All the tips and the Friday face-off. If you haven't registered for the face-off, you need to do that. We're at the website, rsn.net.au is the place to go. Register and you get asked to play for you in a Friday face-off situation. Nice to have you with us. Now, Blue Eyes not too far away for a Friday edition of Racing Pulse, the Friday Form Focus. Mick Sharkey, who was watching YouTube or Instagram golf videos overnight, sending me them.
At very strange times.
At very strange times, yes. Very strange times has predicted he's going to tip the card tomorrow at Flemington, so he's due for that. So I'd stay listening if I was you. But before we get to that, we've got the Friday face-off very, very shortly. But let's go through the rest of the games of round 14. Only four more to go, boys. Gold Coast and Port Adelaide is tomorrow 1:45 at Metricon Stadium. Now, Robbie Gray plays game number 250. I'll just give you the good stuff. In this, he's been a champion of the competition, and certainly that football club has Robbie Gray, so we wish him the best of luck. Anyone tipping the Gold Coast?
No.
We're going to get the same this week.
Just checking. North Melbourne and Brewers Vegas tomorrow, 4:35 at Blunston Arena. No major milestones happening in that game, but great to see Luke McDonald back after a nasty injury down there.
Yes.
Boomer?
Absolutely. Best and fairest winner from last year, so get a good player back. And get a couple of good players back in the next couple of weeks, so exciting times.
Right, so you'll be tipping the Kangas. Yes. Whitey?
Brisbane.
I'm tipping Brisbane, but it's a danger game for them.
Okay.
They were impressive. They were impressive last week, the Kangas.
You don't get extra points for saying it's a danger
game. I know, but I'm just... Yeah. When we come to Monday, if it's a close game...
You'll have that little statement up your sleeve to fall back.
I told you so.
That's what they do, Daniel. I told you.
They do.
Good text here. Cobden centre bounce quartet. Yes. Sean Darcy, Zach Merritt, Ben Cunnington, and Sam Walsh.
Yeah. That should win a few contests.
Yeah. Well, you'd take that midfield.
You would.
You shouldn't get beaten too often with that quartet.
Sean Darcy, good player.
Very good player.
He's a beauty.
Yeah.
Considering he's had leg amputated a few times.
Yeah. That's a great effort to continue on, really.
I know. It's amazing.
Grand scheme of things.
Bionic man with all that stuff on his leg.
The Giants host the Blues tomorrow night at Giants Stadium. Paddy Dow plays his 50th game. He's got there after a little journey. Not 100 or 200 or 300, but 50. It's a start for Paddy Dow. What do you reckon, Rammer?
What are you contemplating?
I hate this game.
What do you mean you hate it?
I think the Giants. I'll Giants. It's both these teams.
He's giving himself outs.
I agree.
I'm just scratching my head on this game.
Boomer,
pick the Blues then. I'm going with the Giants.
Whitey?
Giants through the midfield.
Giants for me in that one as well, on the road there for the Blues.
Who does the ball go to, just quickly?
Well, DeBoer didn't go to anyone last week.
He went to Aaron Hall.
He tried to go to Aaron Hall.
Well, he kept into five in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden it kind of changed. He didn't go to Ben Cunnington.
Cunnington was dominating the middle of the ground.
Well, Walsh or Cripps, who would you go to?
100% Walsh at the moment.
Yep.
He's at the moment, but I don't know if he can...
No, I don't think he can keep up with Walsh. That's the only thing I'm getting.
He's probably better off going to Cripps.
Yeah. Inside and outside Walsh at the minute. And then Hawthorn Essendon, the fight for the ages down there at Utah Stadium, the home of football down there in Tassie at Launceston. Magnificent venue. Mason Redmond plays 50 games for the Bombers in that one.
Another re-signing, Whitey.
Who's that?
Mason Redmond.
It's exciting news. Boom, I'm going to you first time.
Yeah, Bombers for me.
Bombers?
Yeah, I have to.
You serious?
Yeah, I'm going to Bombers.
This might be another line in the sand game for the Hawks.
Who's going to win it, idiot?
Bombers.
Why do you stop giggling and dribbling about your Bombers? What do you got? Who's going to win? Who's
going
to win?
No, I'm going for Essendon, but not with a great deal of confidence.
A lot of changes.
That many changes, very rare teams win.
That's true. That is true. That's why the Hawks will win that game down there at Utah Stadium. They don't lose down there. So
correct. They have a great record.
The Hawks to win that one
for me. Kangas beat them about 3 weeks ago.
That's a good point.
Down there.
Don't lose too often. Too often, I said.
Oh, sorry, I missed that part.
A lot of changes. Didn't you hear what they said?
Yes.
A lot of changes. Doesn't Move happen. Let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Riviera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
You betcha it is. $100 voucher to Ribera's and a Bataki hamper to the winner of the Friday face-off. Register at the website rsn.net.au. We need to acknowledge the excellence that is Adam Romanaskis in this competition at the moment. He is a dominant force. An absolute dominant force.
What's the score?
He's winning.
What's the score?
What's the category?
What's Whitey's score?
Whitey's really low.
What is it?
Is 2.
What's my score?
23.
Right.
Okay. What's Boomer's score?
Don't worry about the others. I'm
Someone's
you.
Close to him. What am I on? 3 or 4?
My focus is
you're
you.
You're a 1.
You won last week.
I'm a 1.
Who's playing? What are
we playing,
playing for
Marks tonight. Marks.
Marks.
Let's just make this clear. I should be more, but Rammer won't take me on in a goal kicking competition.
Oh, please,
Whitey. We saw what happened last time. To give you to points to Rammer.
It took you 4 weeks to recover.
Can we do a little ball? Can we do a little ball through the doorways?
No, proper Sharon, pumped up, unlike last time. 10 kicks. 10 kicks.
You're going to wear football boots this time as well?
I don't need to wear football boots.
All right, we're dribbling. Got work to do. Blue Eyes is ready for Racing Pulse shortly. Let's get to it. Marks. Is that what you said?
Correct.
Marks for Geelong and the Western Bulldogs tonight at GMHBA Stadium. Boomer, you're playing for James Baker from Darley.
James Baker. I was nearly going to say I don't care, but I want James to win this week because I'm that far behind. I'm going to go with the obvious. I'm going to go with Tom Stewart.
Tom Stewart.
Yes, averaging 7.9 marks per game.
Right, well done to you, James. You've got Tom Stewart to cheer for tonight. I'm playing for Tim Taylor from Grovedale. Tim, we are going to chase Mitch Duncan around the ground tonight and get the most marks for the Cats. We think he'll have plenty of the footy.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor, spot on. Good pick up from you. What a great show. Whitey.
I am going to go with Tom Hawkins. I think he's going to do well tonight. He'll have
Tom
to
Hall.
If he's going to take most marks.
For Shane Maynell from Cranbourne, good luck to you, Shane. And Rammer, the king of the Friday face-off, you've got Darren Baker. We've got James Baker and Darren Baker from Katunga.
Cam Guthrie.
Kevin Hicks was there.
Cam Guthrie.
Cam Guthrie in and most marks.
Well, he gets 40-odd possessions,
true.
A few of them have got to be marks.
That is true.
I'm surprised you didn't take Jack McRae.
Can't believe no one took Norton.
Hey, Norton.
Astro Norton.
I think you'll get.
I was really keen to take Tom Stewart, to be perfectly honest.
I was really keen to take Mitch Duncan, to be perfectly honest.
We'll see how we go. They are the competitors. Stewart, Duncan, Hawkins and Guthrie for the Friday face-off. Good luck to James, Tim, Shane and Darren. Your chance to win the Ribera's voucher and Bataki hamper as well for winning the Friday face-off. Boomer, great to see you in studio.
Yes, been good. Much better doing this than sitting at home nice warm house with a cup of tea. And I'm being serious, actually better in here.
Much nicer to have you with us in the studio. Good luck to your Kangas on the weekend.
Thanks. Boys, see you next week.
We'll catch you next week on the Friday footy preview. Have a great weekend, everyone. Lots of sport around the world, but racing it tomorrow at headquarters and Blue Eyes will be all over that on a Racing Pulse.